B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
I think it's a song ultimately about responsibility. Responsibility for ourselves and the world around us. I think we all have this heavy crown of responsibility over our homes, our families, our own personal hardships.
That's singer-songwriter Chris Daughtry talking about his latest single called Heavy Is the Crown. He's working on his new record. He says it should be out sometime this year. He's pretty much finished with it, and it's the record he's wanted to make for a long time.
I'm like, why am I not doing what got me excited about music in the first place?
We talk a lot about music, his time in Nashville, and which singer did he say this about?
Because everything that comes out of that dude's mouth is hilarious.
It's Chris Daughtry today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for checking out Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. Back at it again with Chris Daughtry this time around. First time I've ever had a chance to interact or meet or talk with Chris. I actually did this up on Zoom. You can check that whole thing out at WRIF.com if you want to watch it. But I found him really engaging, really candid, and really just a nice guy. And, you know, I've always had this, like, this question about, like, the dichotomy of coming from a singing show like an American Idol and then trying to, you know, dip into this rock world. And he gave me a great answer on that coming up here in just a few minutes. So his new record, like he says, he'll get into that, it's finished, kind of, sort of. He doesn't know when it's going to come out yet, but we'll talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. But just a really great conversation with Chris. And his new song, Heavy Is the Crown, is so killer. If you get a chance to check that out. And plus, we talk about his little cameo in Batman, Dying Is Easy, which has, I don't know, 4.5 million views on the YouTube right now. So that's it was pretty interesting as well. It's so fun when I have a chance to, talk to guys like this who I have mutual friends with. And then, you know, I'll text or call these guys and I'll say, hey, tell me a little bit about, you know, so-and-so or such-and-such. And that's what I did. And that's kind of where that comment you heard in the intro comes from, with everything that comes out of his mouth is so funny. It's a really funny story and a funny comment that he'll talk about coming up later on. In the meantime, we are on this Zoom call, and he's got this really cool, like, office with Deadpool and Batman in the background and all this stuff. And that's how we started our conversation today with Chris Daughtry on Talkin' Rock.
It's my office. And, it's a bit of a shit show right now. There's stuff everywhere. So on this side, everything looks so organized. If I turn this thing around, it's a disaster. And there are some guitars in here and some music stuff, but mostly it's a bunch of nerd shit. So
that Deadpool thing is kick ass, man. That is awesome.
Thanks, that was a gift from old Chad Kruger.
Oh, really? Is that right?
We were on tour in Europe, and it was the end of the tour, and we're performing, and I turn around and they're wheeling this thing out on stage with all these, like, unicorn balloons and shit. And I'm like, what is happening behind me? And he shipped it all the way from Europe in this massive wooden case that I had to work for this thing. I had to get a drill and take the sides off the panels and carry this thing up in pieces. Like, he knew exactly what he was getting into, but it was a cool gift. Yeah. It catches everything.
That is so cool, man. So what kind of, so you said you got guitars and stuff. You don't have to turn the camera or nothing, but do you have, like, some cool autograph rock memorabilia you've saved from all the years or what?
Yeah, I actually do have a pretty amazing PRS signed by Santana.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And that's in storage. I don't keep that out. And I got a megaphone that I used to tour with that is completely custom by my favorite artist and dear friend, Jim Lee. He drew a bunch of Batman stuff over it and you know, shellacked it. And I retired that after about a year of touring because I was so afraid of getting it messed up. But yeah, I got some cool stuff in here. But it's mostly nerd stuff.
Well, that's cool. Well, let's get into your music here. Heavy Is the Crown is the latest single, man. Kick ass. Talk about that song.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it's I think it's a song ultimately about responsibility. responsibility for ourselves and the world around us. I think we all have this heavy crown of responsibility over our homes, our families, our own personal hardships. And I don't think it's about one person having it harder than the other. I think we all in our own worlds, if I've found anything out, we all go through shit. We all have things that nobody else knows about, you know, and you think you got it bad until you talk to the next person. And then you hear, you know, the things they're going through and all of a sudden you don't feel so bad anymore, you know? And I think it's about that, taking full responsibility of your life, over your choices that you make and where that leads you.
Yeah, that's a good good sentiment. I wish more people took responsibility over things that they did.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So I was trying to find out. Now, do you have a full record release coming up, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, it's we're in the process now of, like, I'm done with all my stuff, and we're getting some last minute guitars added, and we're sending it off to mix. Man, the record is complete as far as you know, outside of some instrumentation here and there, and everybody's having to do everything from home, so it's kind of put things behind a little bit. But yeah, the goal is to have a record out this year.
Now, I know that you've worked in the past with different artists. You mentioned Chad Kroeger and stuff. Is there any artist going to be making any cameos on your record?
Don't have any. I didn't, you know, I kept everything really close to the chest on this record. Worked with Scott Stevens and Marty Fredrickson for the whole album. There's some co-writes here and there from a couple of my band members. But yeah, this was definitely nothing came up that would have worked. But, you know, LeJean from Seven Dust, we had kicked around the idea of doing something together. So that's still not out of the question. At some point, but it probably won't be for the record.
Yeah. Now, are you in Nashville?
I am.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've been down there a little bit here and there. As a matter of fact, I got to meet Vince Gill back in the fall. Got to hang out with him for a little while. And
you've
worked with
him.
Yeah. Yeah. Such a nice guy, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Totally. I've gotten to perform with him a couple times, actually. We did CMA Awards with him once, and I actually did this thing a couple years ago before COVID hit, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, and I ran into him at a mutual friend of ours, Richard Marks, was doing a thing with the symphony, and I got up and did a song, and there was Vince Gill. Got up, and he actually didn't get up and do a song. He actually just stood by and watched. I think he just came fresh off the golf course.
Yeah, that's one of those moments. I'm sitting there and, like, Vince Gill is there, and it was at Kid Rock's house, and John Daly's there and all this stuff. And I sometimes think to myself, and you probably had these moments before, where you're like, why am I even here? Why do I belong here? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've had a few of those moments, actually. Yeah, I've had a few of those moments where I look around and I'm like, one of these things is not like the other. And it's...
Yeah, but you know what? You've been in the spotlight now for 15 years since American Idol and stuff. And I have to admit, I was just telling Jade off the mic that I've never interviewed someone from one of these shows before. So it's and my daughter's 20 and she watches it. I come home and she's on the couch all the time watching the shows and stuff. And obviously that was like a platform to kick off your career and get it going and stuff like that. And throughout all these years, it seems to me like you've tried to dip your foot or maybe even your whole body into this rock world. Tell me about, like, the stigma of playing on one of those shows and trying to do that thing as well.
Yeah, it's a tricky path to navigate, because, you know, I played in the clubs and in the bars for, you know, almost 10 years before going on the show, spinning wheels. You know, I wasn't in a super hot spot for you know, record labels to come scout talent, and we were essentially playing for the guest list and any given gig, you know, me begging, hey man, you want to come check me out this weekend? Nah, I'll see you next weekend. You know, it's like, you know, now they're calling me for tickets, but,
yeah, right.
And so there wasn't the YouTube, we didn't have all the tools of getting your music out there, like, you know, everybody does today. And I was like, if they're not going to come see me, maybe I can get on this show and maybe last a week or two and come home and play more gigs because mm-hmm. my name, you know, people know who I am now or whatever. It was kind of short-sighted thinking. Maybe I'll just be able to pay my bills and play gigs. You know, that was the extent of my goal. And of course it turned into something way bigger than that. And there is that fear of like not being accepted, in the rock world. And then there's the reality that I was accepted right away. And it was such an amazing feeling, you know, going out on the road with Bon Jovi, out Nickelback, playing shows with Stained and Seven Dust and Chevelle. And, it was just this really cool thing to be embraced by that community. Obviously the fans are a little harder to convince. So, I think for this record, you know, first time being independent, first time being away from the big label, I'm able to do exactly the record that I've been wanting to do for years without someone coming and putting their thumb on the record, you know? And after getting away from the voices in your ear saying, you gotta do this to cater to this format. You gotta do this if you want to stay relevant, and, you know, and then me, you know, I'm definitely fully aware of my responsibility in it going, well, maybe that's what I need to do, you know? and like once radio stopped playing, you know, anybody that had a guitar, you know, it was scary as shit. It's like, oh, what do I do now? And so I fell, you know, I definitely fell into that trap of thinking, I got to change to fit the format. I got to change to be relevant. I got to change to have, you know, continued success. And then I look back at those records that I changed to fit the mold or whatever. And I'm like, they didn't really do anything better for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And the label that promised me this, if I did this, didn't actually do this. So why am I not playing what I believe in? So, yeah, it was definitely a liberating feeling once we parted ways and I was able to go, what kind of record do I actually want to make? What's the type of music that I want to put out? And regardless of what it does or where it sits on the charts, I want to make sure that I can step back away from this and go, I'm 100% proud of this and I back it with my heart and soul. And that's where I'm at right now.
That's a great answer, you know, because obviously you completely understand the question. And I got a million questions from what you just said, but one of which is, have you talked to any of your friends in other rock bands as to maybe what direction you should take? Or is it just one of these things where you're just like, you're just on your own? You got, like you said, you got your mindset and you know exactly where you want to go.
I didn't. I had in the past. I had talked to a few of my peers, you know, in the quote unquote pop rock world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you start to see that they're doing better than you and you start to go, maybe I should be doing what they're doing. And, you know, in hindsight, I know where I fit naturally. I know where my heart gravitates towards. And I didn't really consult with anyone on this record other than my producers. And that was saying, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I started going back, listening to older records that made me excited to be a musician, that got me wanting to be a musician, you know, the Dirts and the, you know, Facelift and, you know, Bad Motor Finger and Super Unknown, like those records that were, you know, transformative for me as a teenager that, oh, dude, one of my favorite records of all time.
I just happen to have it. Yeah, there you go.
And I was listening to those records and I'm like, all of a sudden feeling excited about music again. Mm. And I'm like, why am I not doing what got me excited about music in the first place? And I wanted to work with Scott Stevens and Marty Fredrickson because they understood that side of me. Mm. They understood me as a human being. They understood me as a rock artist and they understood this band. And I feel like I was working with a lot of people at RCA. You know, I went from one A&R person to the next. After the first two records, I didn't work with the same people again. And I think everyone that was coming in had their own idea of who we were, or maybe didn't really understand it and was like, this is all we know to do. And I think that was, you know, to our detriment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And there's got to be that fine line, too. It's like, when you're thinking about your record that you're making, it's like, will these fans dig it? Am I going to bring in new fans? You know, there's that whole thing about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a bit of, I don't know, I probably can't swear on this. It's a bit of a mind F.
Right, sure.
It sends you down a rabbit hole of self-doubt, you start questioning yourself as an artist, as a writer, and you start trying to placate to this crowd or this crowd or this crowd instead of just putting out what's authentic to you and being okay with the audience that it reaches. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at now. I just want to put out something that I believe in 100%. And when I say that, I don't disregard any of those records that preceded this because I wrote them and I love them. Not necessarily on board with the way they were produced, not necessarily on board with certain songs that were kind of, put in front of me to do.
Yeah, thrust upon you, right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And so some of those songs tainted the records in a way. And this is one of the first albums that I can say 100% had no input from any outside source or label or even management. Management was like, dude, I don't want to even tell you like what I think until like you present me with what you want to put out. Like, I don't want to have any influence on it. So, it's definitely easy to get caught up in those thoughts or even reading comments online is dangerous. You know,
yeah,
it's such a slippery slope. You know, artists didn't have that back in the day. They had Rolling Stone to tell them if it sucked or not. And they could, they could blow that off.
Right.
Because they were selling millions of records or playing in front of, stadiums full of people. So it didn't really matter. You know, now you have all these opinions and you start to go, well, I need to make this person happy. You're like, I don't even know that person.
Yeah, it's a tight wire act for sure. And then you throw in the midst of it a pandemic. Okay, so now you're sitting at home and you're writing or recording or doing whatever, and that's probably even more because there's not that many people in your ear right now. And also, it's like you're kind of by yourself. So talk about the last year working during this pandemic.
I think it ended up being the best thing for this record. First of all, it gave me so much lyrical ammunition. There was not a lack of feeling, there was so much to pull from emotionally. But at the same time, it gave me 100% free space to work on the record as opposed to, oh, I got a show this weekend, or we got to prepare for a week's worth of gigs. And you kind of flip flop between show mode and recording mode. And it's really hard. And I've done that for, five records now. And it's really, for me, I work best if I'm 100% into this or 100% into that. Otherwise, I feel like I'm kind of, giving a half-assed version of myself in those areas.
Yeah,
and
both sides,
and I feel like at first I was, just petrified and furious. We had all these amazing rock festivals lined up in Europe that we had been waiting to get on for years. We were going to be doing shows with Deftones and Iron Maiden. I mean, it's like, how does that even happen? And we finally landed it, and then it got yanked out from under us. And like for Download Fest and Rock and Ring Park. And luckily, we've been told that's still going to happen when those festivals go back on. But, the first initial thoughts are, we had all this ready to go and we're back down to zero. And I had to kind of shift my thinking and had a bit of an identity crisis, going like, I don't know who I am anymore. I haven't been home this long in 15 years. I don't even know what I'm doing with my life. And I ended up gardening, raising chickens. And
well, that's what you do in Nashville, right? I mean,
yeah, that's what you do. And developed better relationships with my kids than I have had in 15 years with my wife. And so all of these great things started happening. And then I was able to focus on the record 100%. And I feel like it's, I guess every artist says that this when they have a new project, but it genuinely feels like my best work to date, at least that I'm the most proud of. And I think that despite the hardships, because life definitely has been hard to get used to for everyone, mm-hmm. for our kids, for, you know, people are losing their jobs. And so that doesn't go over my head. You know, it's definitely been tough in many areas, but I feel like for this project, it's been the best thing for us, and being able to get it done and put in the work that needed to be done to get this record done. And even the ideas that came about for the videos that I probably wouldn't have thought of, until now, and with having the free space to do that. And we just finished the video for Heavy as the Crown. That should be coming out soon. I'm really excited for fans to see that. It's really cool. I'll leave it at that for now.
All right. Well, you know, you just mentioned something I wanted to touch on. You mentioned an identity crisis, and here in 2021 and 2020 and whatnot, bands like yourself, Road Dogs, that go out and play shows and play tours, that's their identity, really. They go out there and they're on stage or in front of people, and all of a sudden you get that taken away from you. And you kind of touched on that a little bit, but I thought that was one of the more interesting comments I've seen in the last year of interviewing rock bands, because nobody ever really brought that up before.
Yeah. It's funny. You're on the road for so long and you're like, oh man, I can't wait to get home. And then a week into it, you're like, when are we going back out? And I didn't have that. I didn't have that escape. And I didn't realize how much of my identity was wrapped up on stage and wrapped up in needing that, you know, approval from the audience and that instant gratification, until we did a virtual acoustic tour, me and my guitar player. And it was, you know, you play a song and then you hear crickets farting in the corner. It's like, it's so weird. And you're like, I don't know if anybody, like, if someone just got up to go get a drink, you know, and go, I'll let me know when they play that song, you know, or if they're even excited about it and how it's translating to them. And I got to the point where I realized, I was telling Brian, my guitar player, I was like, dude, I think we've had it all backwards. We're like expecting the audience to fire us up so that we can give them a great show. Mm-hmm. And it should be the other way around. We should just be fired up that we're getting to play a show, and that's going to translate. And it was a nice lesson for me, because I found that, like, I would depend on the energy of the audience for me to feel like I'm having a great show, when it should just be like, no, man, you're performing for them.
Right.
You need to give them their money's worth. And that was a nice lesson that I probably wouldn't have learned otherwise, you know?
I'll tell you what, a year into this and we haven't seen live music, and it's like, you know, I just wrote a blog about this the other day. It's like, not only are we not seeing our bands and, you know, seeing our heroes on stage in front of us, we're also not really hanging out with like-minded people that are there for the same thing. Yeah. And it's almost like you go to this thing and it's like 15,000 people you don't know, but you're all there for the same reason. And it kind of, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's like rock church, you know. It's like everybody is there and they're all forgetting about their worries and forgetting about their problems, and they're all there for the greater good, and they're all there for this, and they can all agree on this, whether they agree on anything else. Mm. And I miss that. I miss that feeling of connection, that human connection. And it always felt that way at our shows, and that it didn't matter what the color of your skin was, your religion, your gender, your sexual preference, but they can all agree on this music, and that's what mattered. And it was really interesting. We did a live stream recently, our first full band show in over a year, and we had these huge screens in front of us where every, like, 200 to 300 people were on, like, it looked like Zoom calls, right? Yeah.
Like the WWE like, thing?
Yeah, and I'm like, this looks like this is straight out of Black Mirror here. We're like, this is like Welcome to the Future. This is, and I hope this isn't the future of this business. But it, at the same time, it was really cool. But it's not the same. It doesn't give you that same feeling, and it doesn't give them the same feeling.
Right.
They're in their living room. You know, you're missing that excitement. It's kind of like when you go to see a movie. You know, it's full of people that are excited about that movie versus watching it at home and nobody's commenting. It doesn't have the same feeling. You're like, was it great? Was it funny? I don't know. Nobody else was laughing. But if you see it and everybody's cracking up, you're like, that's the funniest movie I've ever seen. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like that's missing from the live music.
Yeah, no question about that. And, you know, hopefully I'll be back here sooner rather than later, although, I don't know, I have my doubts. We'll see what happens. But, hey, a couple more things here for you, and then we'll cut you loose. First of all, I see you got your Batman thing back there, and Dr. Hugo Strange on the recent Batman Dying is Easy. That must have been fun to do, huh?
That was fun. It was actually the reason I even started growing my beard out in the first place, and then it just stuck. But, he reached out, Aaron, the director reached out to me, Aaron Schoenke, was like, hey man, would you be interested in doing this? And I'm like, man, I can't travel to LA. You know, it's pandemic. I was saying no to everything. Yeah. And he's like, dude, I just need like a minute's worth of footage. You can film it at your house in front of a green screen. I did literally filmed it on my phone, in my office, in this room, in front of a green screen. And it took all of like, you know, an hour to do a bunch of different takes of the same scene. It was a lot of fun, and I'm really happy that I did it, because it was like, I didn't realize at the time that Michael Madsen was gonna be in it.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, and you know, now I'm one step closer to being in a Tarantino film. But it was cool. It was a lot of fun, and it blew up all over line, man. It was like 3 million views in 3 days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was glad I said yes to it. It was a lot of fun.
Well, final thing here for you, and thanks for the time, and good luck with the record, by the way.
Absolutely.
Like I said, Heavy as the Crown is awesome.
Thank you so much.
But one more thing here. Brad Arnold says that he had so much fun with you on tour, and he says he hung out with you more than anybody he thinks he's ever toured with. And Brad's a good friend of mine. And I saw you guys.
Great guy.
You guys played here at the Fox Theater, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago or something, which, by the way, for anyone that's outside Detroit, is like one of the most amazing theaters, you know.
Yeah, I love that theater.
And talk about that tour with Three Doors Down. Those guys loved you.
Yeah, and we love those guys. They're like family to us. Oddly enough, we live in Nashville and we hardly ever see each other.
Yeah.
Actually never see each other.
Yeah.
Everybody, but I don't even see my own band members that live here. It's so crazy how that works. You think, well, I'm going to live next to all my friends. We're going to hang out every day. And everybody has lives.
Right.
But we had so much fun on that tour. It was fun every night. We sang in each other's sets. We hung out. We worked out together every day. We ran, you know, laps and did stairs together. We kept each other in shape for the tour. It was a lot of fun, man. That guy is so funny. He's so fun to hang out with. I don't think I'd laugh more on any tour than that tour. Because everything that comes out of that dude's mouth is hilarious.
he's definitely a deep South person. There's no question
about
it. I talk about this sometimes, but about, I don't know, 8-10 years ago, I had my son on my bus, on the bus with those guys. My son just turned 18 yesterday, and so he was like, I don't know, 10 or something. And Brad was talking about some story, and he mentioned somebody was as country as cornbread, and my son has never forgotten that for the rest of his life. He's like, every time someone brings up country or cornbread, he's got to, you know, bring that little story up. So,
yeah, he had every day he would say something that I'm like, how, where does this stuff come from? And it was something about fishing, like, if it's got an eye and an asshole, you don't throw it back or something. I'm like, what does that even mean?
He was just texting me a few weeks ago about a brand new skid steer he got. He was so excited about this skid steer. I'm like, dude, you're a rock star.
Oh, man.
You know, but anyways.
Dude, he is all about the farming, man. He's all about that farm life.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris, great talking to you for the first time.
You too, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Good luck on the record and stuff. And hopefully by the end of the year here, we'll be all set and ready to go.
Dude, we love Detroit. We can't wait to get back there in person. We always have some of the best crowds ever in Detroit. So very grateful for the support, man. Thank you so much.
There he is, Chris Daughtry on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. I got to thank him for taking so much time. He was so cool. I actually talked to him off the air for about 10 minutes or so. We do have some mutual friends outside of Brad, but and it's just a super nice guy. And he really wet our whistle here with this new track, Heavy as the Crown. It's really cool. I was listening to it on the way in today. It's a cool rock song, and it's got a little bit of bite to it, too. So I'm looking forward to hearing what the rest of the record sounds like. And I'm super excited because he's like, yeah, well, I want to do what I want to do now. And, you know, he comes from the rock background, so I'm looking forward to checking that out. In the meantime, thank you for listening. And if you're new to the podcast, definitely go back and check out some of the recent ones I've done. It's kind of, we're in this weird phase right now. Normally in April, you know, as the spring starts to approach and whatnot, I'm getting all sorts of interviews, but, you know, we're in this weird phase, like I said, where bands aren't really touring. And like I mentioned to Chris, it's like, I don't know if we're going to see these tours, you know, in the summer here. Some have already rescheduled till next year. Some big tours, you know, you might see some, you know, small time concerts and clubs or maybe even outdoor stuff, perhaps. But as far as these big tours and stuff are concerned, like he was talking about Rock 'Em Ring and that, man, I don't know. I'm not having a good feeling about this when you got 70,000 cases a day of the coronavirus. And I'm not making the call on this, of course, but it's like, I don't know. We'll see what happens coming up in the future. Of course, I hope for the best, but I prepare for the worst. Hey, guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll do it all over again real soon. Let the big guy take us out.
Thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. You can help this podcast grow by giving it a 5-star rating and writing a review on Apple and iTunes. Plus, feel free to subscribe and share it with your friends. Until next time, thanks for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.